From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Welcome once again to Let the Bible Speak. Today we continue a series of studies in Paul's Epistle to the Romans, messages preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, founder of Let the Bible Speak Radio Ministries. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns shortly. First, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought from the pen of Charles Haddon Spurgeon, found in his collection called Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is entitled, From Obedience to Blessing. The text is found in Haggai chapter 2 and verse 19. From this day will I bless you. Future things are hidden from us, yet here is a glass in which we may see the unborn years. The Lord says, from this day will I bless you. It is worthwhile to note the day which is referred to in this promise. There had been failure of crops, blasting and mildew, and all because of the people's sin. Now the Lord saw these chastened ones commencing to obey His word and build His temple. And therefore He says, From the day that the foundation of the Lord's temple was laid, consider, from this day will I bless you. If we have lived in any sin, and the Spirit leads us to purge ourselves of it, we may reckon upon the blessing of the Lord. His smile, His Spirit, His grace, His fuller revelation of His truth will all prove to us an enlarged blessing. We may fall into greater opposition from man because of our faithfulness, but we shall rise to closer dealings with the Lord our God and a clearer sight of our acceptance in Him. Lord, I am resolved to be more true to Thee and more exact in my following of Thy doctrine and Thy precept, and I pray Thee, therefore, by Christ Jesus, to increase the blessedness of my daily life, henceforth and forever.
How I praise Thee, precious Savior, that Thy love laid hold of me. Thou hast saved
that Thou shouldest fill me, a clean vessel in Thy hand, with no power but as Thou givest, graciously with each command.
Channels hold me, blessed Master, but with all Thy wondrous power flowing through us, Thou canst use us every day and every hour.
To assist you in meditating upon the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ into the world, Let the Bible Speak is happy to offer a unique publication called The 12 Days of Christmas. Written by Roger Ellsworth, an experienced minister and writer, The 12 Days of Christmas is a small paperback book containing 24 devotions, each including a short scripture reading, several paragraphs, and a concluding To Think About section that draws lines of application from the text to modern-day life. The book is intended to help the hearts and minds of believers to focus upon the wonder of the Incarnation, as well as to encourage unbelievers to come in repentance and faith to Christ. Let the Bible Speak is happy to make this booklet available free of charge to our listening audience. You may have a copy simply by contacting us by phone, email, or regular mail. You may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or you may simply write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. We encourage you to request your free copy of The 12 Days of Christmas. As he proceeds with these studies in the Epistle to the Romans, Dr. Cairns brings the next portion of a message entitled, Saints Secure in Christ Crucified and Risen from the Dead. The text is verses 5 through 11 of chapter 5. Having expounded the doctrine of justification, Paul now takes up the believer's security and assurance. Verse 5 speaks of the Holy Ghost having been shed abroad in our hearts at the moment of our salvation. In verse 6, Paul goes on to show that in giving Christ to die on the cross, God provided the greatest possible demonstration of his love toward sinners. Indeed, as Dr. Cairns has shown, the love of God is otherworldly, for as the verse proclaims, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. The proof that no believer will ever suffer the wrath of God lies in the facts of Christ's resurrection and intercession. Christ's prayers can never be in vain. Paul goes on to say that we are saved by Christ's life. Here is the certainty of the believer's salvation. Now, to continue this message, here is Dr. Cairns.
Christ didn't die and then sit back in luxury as if, well, there's nothing now for me to be interested in. He's interceding. He's appearing. He's advocating. And what is he advocating? He's advocating against all the opposition of hell. He's advocating according to the terms of the covenant of grace that every one of his people make it securely to heaven. He's advocating that the blood-washed are actually brought into glory. He's saying, as he prays in John 17, Father, I will that these that thou hast given me be with me. I must have them. I will have them. They must reach heaven, and they will reach heaven. He's active as our Savior. And he's living to ensure that all for whom he died will without fail enter into glory. That's what these verses 9 and 10 are all about. Verse 9, he died for us and purchased our justification. But he also rose again and lives as our Savior. His death could not be in vain. But neither can his resurrection life. Neither can his intercession. If you understand what Christ is doing at the right hand of God, you will see the security. Do you remember what Jesus said to Peter? And then the words include all the disciples. He said, Simon, Simon, Satan hath desired to have you. Now you just put your own name in there. For it wasn't only true of Simon. Satan has desired to have you. Oh, you're mine, given to me in the covenant of redemption. You're mine by divine appointment. You're mine by eternal election. You're mine by the precious blood of the cross. You're mine by the sealing of the Holy Spirit. But Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you. I have prayed for you. It's not just that I'm praying for the whole church. It's not just that I'm praying for the great body of my elect. It's not just I'm saying, Lord, look at that great number of people that only God knows, and I'm praying for them as a block. Oh, that may be true. But in his infinite wisdom, the Lord Jesus says, by name I have prayed for you. Your name is inscribed on the palms of my hands. As the hymn says, my name from the palms of his hands, eternity cannot erase. Bless God, his praying cannot be in vain. There is one mark about the intercession of Christ. It's as true in heaven as it was true on earth. He said to his Father, thou hearest me always. There is no such thing as an unanswered prayer of Jesus Christ. No such thing. Search your Bible. It's an impossibility. Thou hearest me always. That was on earth. and it's still true in glory. Thou hearest me always. There is an infallible certainty about the praying of Jesus Christ. And thank God, He who died for us lives for us. And if we were reconciled by His blood and justified by His blood, then we'd be saved from wrath through Him, the living Christ. Verse 10, His death destroyed our enmity to God and gave us peace with God. He reconciled us to God. But listen, if His death saved God's enemies, can His life fail to secure God's friends? If His blood brought us out of enmity into friendship and fellowship, can the living Christ, the Christ who lives at the right hand of God, our great high priest, our intercessor, our elder brother, our covenant head, our living, loving Lord, can His life fail to bring His friends in union with Him to everlasting glory? The whole thing is impossible. Now that we're no longer enemies, but people who have been reconciled, He says, we shall be saved by or in His life. Now I want you to notice this great conclusion of it all. We shall be saved. You see, that's what the passage is all about. That's what the argument is all about. Paul has given us five individual statements. Each one of them in itself would be sufficient to establish the truth. Put them all together and it reaches this great crescendo. We shall be saved from wrath. We have been justified. Go back up to the beginning of the chapter. We have been introduced into the royal presence. And we now enjoy constant access to God. We've been given the indwelling Holy Spirit to witness of God's love for us. We've been reconciled to God by the death of His Son. So we shall be saved from wrath. You see, the eternal future is secure. That's what Paul wants us to understand. And he wants us to understand it for a very good reason. Because it's as you understand your future that you will be able to live effectively for God in the present. Never forget that. Because this must have a present effect. The argument that, and this is an argument Paul will take up at the beginning of chapter 6, the argument against the security of believers is, oh, well, that leads to carelessness, leads to coldness, it leads to indifference. Well, now I'm saved, I can shrug my shoulders and say, everything's fine, I can live whatever way I like. Absolute rubbish. Absolute rubbish. Anybody who talks like that has never known what it is to have security or assurance. Anybody who wants to make the grace of God a cloak of maliciousness and a cover for his own vile sinfulness is still in his sins, and if he doesn't get converted and get saved, he will perish, and that's the only security he'll ever have, and it's a security for eternal hell. This is not an excuse for sin. No, when you understand this, and I would to God that I could preach this as it deserves to be preached. I have to confess, when I come to this passage, I groan within myself because I read things here that I don't have either the knowledge or the ability or the words or the passion or anything to express as it deserves to be expressed. But I read things here and I say, if only I could understand this, if only I could communicate this, if only there were some way that this could grip the mind of Christians, what it is that Paul is saying here, they would come to cry out with verse 11. And not only so, that's picking up at verse 3. And not only so. Notice how he's progressing. He says, we rejoice, verse 2, in the hope of the glory of God. But not only so, we rejoice or glory in tribulations also. But not only so, verse 11, we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. When you understand this, you rejoice. When this grips your heart, there will be something rising up within you to rejoice in God. Notice the difference in the tenses of the verbs. We shall be saved. Verse 10. We now rejoice. Verse 11. Can you do anything else but rejoice if you have received the atonement? If you've received the reconciliation? If you've received the at-one-ment with God? We rejoice. There's the honor we give to Him. We come before the Lord and we give Him the glory. Salvation in all its parts is all of God. Salvation is all of grace. If we shall be saved, then to God be the glory. To Christ be the honor. There's a humility we feel, for we recognize we were without strength. We were not only without strength, we were without goodness. We were ungodly. We were stamped with that very thing that Paul mentioned at the beginning of the whole treatment in Romans chapter 1 verse 18, with that ungodliness against which the wrath of God has been revealed. We were without strength. We were without godliness. We were without merit. Truth to tell, we were even without desire to know anything about God or grace or anything else, for we didn't love Him. Here's a humility we feel. We're glorying in God. I have nothing wherein to glory, says Paul. I'm just a sinner, vile, filthy, wretched, hell-deserving sinner. But I'm justified. I'm reconciled. I'm in friendship with God. I'm in fellowship with God. And I'm sealed so that I shall be saved from wrath. The honor is His. The humility is ours. But here is a holiness to which we aspire. When I understand what God has done for me in Christ, and understand the assurance and the security that He gives me in the Savior, then I must glorify Him. In a word, you know, that's the essence of a holy life. To be living in the joy of the Lord. You can't be living in sin. To be living in the joy of the Lord. You can't be living with one foot in the world. To be living in the joy of the Lord is to separate unto Him and to say, Lord, given what I was and where I was, given what I am and where I'm going, given the ground on which I'm saved, there's only one thing worth living for, and that is the glory of God. We glory. We rejoice. We triumphantly exult in our God. I'm tempted to take off on another line, but time is gone. Can I tell you that when we recapture this in the church, we will recapture the secret of spiritual power. When you understand this in your own life, you will understand what it is to be a strong Christian. A strong Christian is not a Christian with strong will. A strong Christian is not a Christian necessarily just of strong character. Oh, he will have strong character, but that's the result, not the cause of his strength. A strong Christian is one with a clear view of what Christ has done for him and of the security that belongs to him in Jesus Christ, the result of which is he will have joy.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.